Have you heard of the little church that could? Join Pastor Bob Enyart at Denver Bible Church for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship service from 10:50 until noon, and our Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m. Located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado. Join us on Sundays as we study the meat of the Word of God, to worship our awesome Creator and to equip the saints for the service of the Lord.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I am Doug McBurney, second in charge of security at Denver Bible Church.
That's right.
Second in command.
Right. Our security guy is a longtime Denver police officer.
Yeah, yeah. He does a great job.
Dale really does.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. I'm his backup.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're all invited out to Denver Bible Church. By the way, every Sunday we have Sunday school at 9:30, fellowship at 10:30, and the sermon starts, around 11:20 after praise and worship?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should come out. It's out in Arvada. Yeah. Go online, denverbiblechurch.org, and come and visit
Sunday
us.
Night Bible studies, we're in 1 Peter right now, going through the whole Bible, verse by verse. It's a lot of fun, and if you can't be there, you could get it from us. Download it, DVDs, audio CD, MP3s, the whole bit.
Yeah, get the sermons every week, definitely. Bob, I want to hit you with a homeschooling question off the top.
All right.
Now, I didn't prepare you for this. The one thing I like about being on the radio with you, Bob.
Yeah.
Is that no matter how outlandish or weird the question or out of left field the question is, you don't have to sit here and prepare with Bob before the show because he already has the answers.
Oh, no, I don't know about that.
Well,
but Doug,
you already have the answers you believe.
We've been studying the Bible, right, for, 20 years teaching Bible studies.
So you would think by now that you wouldn't need a lot of prep when someone's seeking some biblical. So the other, my 10-year-old daughter, Nicole, she's doing her science class in our one-room schoolhouse. Which is at our house.
Mm, homeschoolers.
And I was reading a section from the science book. We have her science book is Science from a Biblical Perspective.
Yeah.
But it does go into detail describing several evolutionary theories. The book basically listed, I believe, the five most common belief systems regarding origins.
Mm.
The first one I told her was biblical creationism.
All right.
Young earth creationism.
Yeah.
I read through the paragraph, and I said, Nicole, this is what I believe, and this is what I've been trying to teach you. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
So then we moved on down, day, age. I can't remember them all.
Yeah, but soft tissue dinosaurs fit very well with that first
Yes,
model.
They do, as a matter of fact.
They fit beautifully.
I love the picture, by the way, on Friday's write-up for Real Science Friday on your website, where it actually showed
T-Rex
really cool.
with blood vessels.
Yeah. That was really
It looks like you're at a butcher shop.
Right, right. It looks like it just came out of the freezer.
Yeah, and it's little bits, you know. You see it in a microscope, but it's actually dinosaur tissue that's soft and flexible, pliable.
And this is in a dinosaur that's supposedly over 60 million years old,
right?
Approximately.
Yeah.
I mean, give or take a million.
And so they're finding it everywhere they look.
Yeah.
That's a bit of an exaggeration, but they're going to look and they find dinosaur bones. They break them open. They find original biological material, and that fits with a young earth biblical creationist viewpoint.
Yes, awesome. You know, is it the archaeologist Spade? Is that right? Archaeologist?
Yeah, the archaeologist
Spade. The archaeologist Spade just continues
and
to prove.
Well, in this case, it's the paleontologist Spade.
Those guys. I always get those guys mixed up.
Oh, yeah.
What's the difference between an archaeologist and a paleontologist?
About 80,000 a year.
Okay.
The archaeologist typically is studying human civilization.
Oh, I see.
Ancient human.
Okay. Well, I'll mention that to Nicole as she considers what her major is going to be.
Mm.
Now, we're in the homeschool in the one-room schoolhouse at the McBurney compound.
Yeah.
And I start reading the description of the day-age theory, the gap theory, a number of other theories. And about halfway down the list, she knows there's like two or three more coming. And she said, Daddy, I don't even need to hear about that other stuff. And I said, now, wait a minute, Nicole. I said, I don't want you to say that because I don't want you to believe that everything I say is absolutely true just because I say it.
Doug, that is so great.
That's okay.
You present that to your daughter. And we do the exact same thing with our children, our boys. We say, you need to own your own worldview, your own belief system.
Yeah.
And we want you to be equipped to know what is true and to be able to spot lies, because lies and error, they're destructive. They hurt people.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not infallible. Your mom's not infallible, but God is infallible.
Amen.
So we learn to be able to defend. In fact, in our Bible study, just Sunday night, be prepared to give an answer to those who ask.
Amen.
For the hope that lies within you. So I like how you told, your daughters did you
this
say?
This was Nicole, the 10-year-old. She has some interactions with other kids through some of her activities in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, Nicole, this is the one thing that people are going to attack you the hardest on. They're going to make fun of you. Mm. And so don't be afraid to familiarize yourself with their argument and what they have been taught and what they believe, because I want you to make your own decision, and I want you to be able to intelligently discuss this issue, whether it's someone coming to you from a young earth creation standpoint or a theistic evolution or atheistic evolution. I want you to understand all those things, and you decide.
And so when one of her neighbor friends says, well, dinosaurs lived 65 million years ago, and Nicole could say, and you believe that because their blood vessels are still squishy, right? That's why you believe that? And when the scientist, Dr. Mary Schweitzer at North Carolina State, when she squeezed with the tweezers the blood vessel, goo came out, including blood cells.
Wow.
And that, what, they stayed there in sandstone in Montana for 65 million years?
That'll be an interesting conversation. I hope I get to overhear that with one of the little heathen kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, they're publicly educated, so there's a good chance they believe a lot of malarkey. An awful lot, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I've got some stories here, Bob, but, I mean, what's the big news of the week that's...
Well, the big news of the week, I'd say, is Anne from New Jersey going to be with the Lord.
Oh, Anne from New Jersey.
Yes.
Is,
you know, the Bible says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Ah, yes.
That comes from Psalm somewhere.
Yeah.
We should look it up.
It chapter and verse. Let people go look for themselves, because it encourages them to read other things.
Well, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And Anne from New Jersey is going to be with the Lord very soon.
Wow. Now, who is Anne?
I guess
Anne
it's
from
inappropriate to announce someone's death before they die. But she's elderly, and she went into hospice today. And, Doug, I was invited. I flew back to New Jersey where I grew up years ago. I was invited to speak to a Christian group. And my brother happened to be there. He came out because he was living there. He lives here now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
he's a team leader.
In Denver.
He's a team leader for the Personhood Signature.
That's right. Brian Inyard.
Yeah.
He's just great.
He invented the whole idea of a team leader for the Personhood Petition Campaign.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
He's a great leader.
We're blessed
that
he's here.
So he came out, and I was invited to speak on marriage, divorce, and the scriptures.
Okay, and this is a Christian singles group in New Jersey.
There were over 100 people at this church event.
That's great.
And I went up to speak, and I lost my mind.
No way.
I went up.
He said sarcastically.
And no, I think it's literal.
Really?
I changed the topic.
I'm
supposed to speak on marriage, the scriptures. I completely changed the topic and talked about abortion.
Oh, wow.
Completely changed the topic.
So you didn't just change the topic. You exchanged the topic for a thermonuclear topic.
Yeah, that's
right. Wow.
And it became, the environment just became so confrontational and so hostile that it almost seemed like a fight was going to break out.
Really?
My brother, who's, you know, he's a construction guy.
Yeah, he's a big guy. I wouldn't want to mess with him.
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He had his logger's vest on. He goes up to the front by the podium because he could tell. It's like people are mad because some people in the room are child killers.
Wow. Ooh. Not to put too fine a point on it.
No. So he took a chair and he turned it around and he sat backwards in the chair facing the audience with his arms across the top of the
chair.
Now,
you people in the audience who've never met Brian Enyart, you just missed out on a visual that's just priceless.
Yeah. So you know, they say so-and-so got my back. Well, my brother had my side, my front, my back.
Had you covered.
And it was intense.
Well, I imagine when you bring that up, you know.
Ann was there. Ann, who today, January 24th, Tuesday, 2012, is her family's bringing her to hospice.
She was at the meeting.
She was at the meeting, and she was an unbeliever.
Really?
And she was confronted with the idea that there is a God, and if you advocate killing unborn children, God is angry at you.
Wow.
God is angry at you.
She maybe never heard in her whole life that she might be an enemy of God.
No,
maybe that was the first time?
I think that's the case.
Wow.
And Anne decided when the meeting was subsiding.
Yes, subsiding.
It was subsiding.
Yeah.
Anne decided that she wanted to become a Christian, and she agreed to pray.
Wow.
And so we prayed with her, and she became a believer. That was many years ago.
That is big news.
Yeah, and so today she's getting ready to go be with the Lord. This was, you know, it was a very dramatic moment.
Yeah, it sounds like.
And to this day, I can't understand. I think it was the only time I was ever invited or hired to go speak. I'm speaking Thursday night up in Fort Morgan.
Well, that's right.
The topic is the pro-life personhood movement and abortion.
Right.
Maybe I'll give a talk on divorce and remarriage. Maybe I'll...
I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
But you have been involved in a number of these significantly confrontational evangelical opportunities, let's say. You've been involved in a number of those over the years.
Yeah, well, and so have you. And
a few.
We've had a good time over the years.
Yes, I mean, we have. I was just at the state capitol, and... Not to be too personal, but there were a number of us men who were setting up for the March for Life. And by the time we got all the signs set up, we were looking for a bathroom. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they had the state capitol sealed down like a Pakistani military base in a bada bag. You couldn't get in the capitol. There was no bathrooms. And we went to the side door, and I knocked on the door. And I was with your brother, Brian. And I said, Brian, I know there's cops in here. When they arrested me and Bob, this is where they threw us.
The state police.
I know they're in here.
They've got a room in the dungeon right there underneath the Capitol.
I'm pounding on the door. I said, don't worry, Brian. I know what I'm doing. I've been arrested here. They're in there.
Hey, we were acquitted that time.
That's right. We were arrested, by the way, for our own good, because we were going to be at least injured,
maybe,
if not killed.
Beat to death.
Perhaps. Yeah.
One of the worst possible deaths would have been being beat to death by homosexuals.
Beaten to death by a
I mean,
mad
there's
group.
Not much worse that could happen to a person.
I remember. It was eerie because it was an event honoring Matthew Shepard, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
And we brought some pro-life material and some signs, and we just walked around telling people to know their pro-choice rights, and we held up pictures similar to what Randall Terry is going to be putting on the Super Bowl.
On the Super Bowl. It's going to air out of Grand Junction during the Super Bowl in Colorado and maybe in Denver.
With the Lord's will and a donation from you folks in the audience, we could get those ads on here in Denver during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, go to kgov.com, kgov.com. We'll have a link to Randall's website. You can see the Super Bowl ad.
Yeah.
And it's going to air in cities around the country during the Super Bowl.
If it doesn't air in Denver, I would consider that a failure.
Yeah,
it
would be discouraging.
On behalf of the pro-life movement, so.
But we had a picture like that, each of us.
Yeah.
And all we said was, know your pro-choice rights.
That's all we said. And the homosexuals began to spin around us, like in a mosh pit type movement. And I felt that death or severe bodily injury was imminent, at which point large policemen came and yanked us out of there and said, are you guys crazy?
And they arrested us, and I was so thankful
that
I was arrested.
I was happy at that
And
moment.
We were thrown in that dungeon beneath the Capitol, and I remember we were both handcuffed, and we had to call our wives, and
somehow
we dialed our cell phones.
That's right.
While handcuffed.
That was impressive. Bob managed to wedge the cell phone between the chair and his lower back and was pushing the keys. You're a multi-talented guy.
See that? We had fun, but how are we reminiscing on that story? How did we get to that story? We've had extraordinary, somewhat confrontational events.
Right.
Even when we're not trying to be confrontational, we're saying, know your pro-choice rights. This is what it means to be pro-choice. And we were arrested, and we went to court. We had our jury trials.
Yes, we did.
And the judge who was an alcoholic.
And who hated you. It was so obvious.
Hated dripping
laser beams coming out of her eyes, right?
And was enraged because with this whole effort for this trial, and all they had was us saying calmly, saying, know your pro-choice rights. That was it. At the Capitol. That was it.
She hated that. She had to throw the case out. I forget
she
one
threw
of the
case out.
One of the prosecutors made an error.
Well, they had no crime that we committed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There was no crime.
She threw it out halfway through the trial.
And hating you.
The prosecutor got done with his case, and she said, so what's the crime? Where was the crime? You got it recorded. Here it is. Know your pro-choice rights.
Yeah. She wanted to hang around. She still had a half a bottle of vodka underneath the lectern there, from what I understand.
Yeah, she had very good hearing.
Yes.
She heard that when you said that from the back of the galley.
Oh, boy.
So,
hey,
Doug,
well,
Ann Jurado.
I'm blessed to hear about Ann.
Ann Jurado is her last name.
Ann Jurado in New Jersey got saved at a Christian singles meeting. What? So their screening methods must not be too tight at this Christian singles.
Well, if you're going to interview Greg Jackson...
coming up. And I want to give a shout out to Greg. I know Greg's out there on the road trying to hustle out a living. I know what it feels like, brother. We're going to get together on Thursday, and we're going to talk about his book, We Won't Get Fooled Again.
We Won't Get Fooled Again. And in Greg's book, you find out that there are a lot of Christian leaders who you wonder, are they even Christian?
Yes.
And a lot of Christians in church who Jesus said, many will come in my name and say, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Lord, Lord. And he said, I never knew you.
Yeah.
So this Christian group, in fact, we were told that that was the first time in their many years of meeting that anyone ever got saved at one of their events.
That's awesome.
So I thank God that I lost my mind at that event and I preached on the wrong topic because it was, you know, it was God, life, death, judgment.
All right.
And this judgment is coming if we don't repent and trust in God. And Ann said, I want to be a Christian.
Wow.
I'm not a Christian.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
That is awesome, Bob.
So, Ann,
congratulations
for her and her
yeah.
family.
Yeah, Ann, congratulations on finishing well, Ann, which
yeah.
is probably the most important part,
yeah.
is finishing well.
Yeah, so she's been a believer for more than 10 years now, and, you know, who knows what happens. We could beat her to heaven.
You know, yeah.
But we'll see her someday.
Absolutely. We'll get together again.
Yeah.
It'll be a blessing.
All right, so your daughter, great job.
Okay, so for all you homeschoolers and Christian kids, don't be afraid to study evolution. Learn their arguments because it will only strengthen your position. Every time I've looked into evolutionary theory or heard an evolutionary scientist interviewed, it only makes me more sure that God is right and he's not lying in his book.
So
don't be afraid.
So, Greg, I'm thrilled you're going to interview him on Thursday. Doug, I have something else. So Ann will be going to be with the Lord. Also, on this program some weeks ago, I don't think I need to give the details. I was traveling, and there was a woman who was interviewed who's running for president.
Okay.
And she said on this show, during the interview, she said that, and this is a topic you'll recognize immediately.
She's running for president of what?
Of the country, of America.
Okay.
Of the U.S.
All right. I might have been out of town, Bob. This is not ringing any
you
bells.
You didn't hear. You hear most of the BEL shows.
Oh, absolutely.
She said that God told her that she's going to win, and she's going to win by 3%. Now, I was up in the mountains.
I didn't know there was a woman running for president.
So when I heard that, I immediately thought, okay, this is typical among Christians.
They can be a little flaky.
Christians
a little bit.
Say, God told me, because today there are no consequences. It used to be in older biblical times, if you said, God told me, and then what you said didn't come to pass, there were consequences.
Yes, I believe the regulation was you were to be stoned with stones until you died.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Stoned to death until you're dead. Right. Today, the consequence is nothing.
No.
The pastor who invites a speaker to come and the speaker says, God told me, and then whatever they say is false and does not come to pass.
Yeah.
The same pastor invites the same speaker 2 years later. There are no consequences. So Christians misrepresent the Lord on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying where they're misinterpreting the Bible. No. Of course, that happens.
Sure, I could. You or I could even do that.
Absolutely, yeah. Right. We want to be corrected when we're wrong. But when someone says, "Thus saith the Lord,"
Oof.
God said, and it's wrong, that means they're a false prophet.
Yeah.
They're a false prophet. So as soon as I heard that woman say that, I didn't process it and think, you know, there's some chance that God did tell her that. No, I immediately knew that she's an immature Christian. She's hyper-spiritual. She's wrong all the time. Whenever she says,
yeah.
God told me, it's not that she's right most of the time. She's always wrong. Oof. This is simply always wrong.
Simply always.
And it's sad.
Yeah.
And there is no longer, because the New Testament says when there's a change of the priesthood, of necessity, there's a change in the law.
Mm.
And things have changed. God changed the way he's working with his covenant people, and we don't have a high priest today.
No. No, not in the temple, not in flesh, not here in the flesh.
Right. We don't have, you know, many of the particulars that Israel had, we don't have today.
Right.
That's why the New Testament says when there's a change in the priesthood, of necessity, there's a change in the law. So we don't get to stone people to death
No.
who misrepresent God.
No, we don't.
We don't. And so it's a cheap trick today to say, God told me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Other than that the person who's speaking is somewhat spiritually immature.
And almost always wrong.
And almost always wrong.
You know, I was waiting. As you were telling the story about your witness to Anne in New Jersey, I was waiting to hear you say that God told me that I shouldn't talk about divorce and remarriage. What I should do is talk Actually, I wasn't concerned you were going to say that.
No, you were. No, and because we know each other.
But it could have.
But and what I said instead was, I lost my mind.
Right.
Like, I had a blip or something on.
But, you know, in a generic sense.
I might have been a mini stroke for all I
perhaps.
Know.
Perhaps. You know, in a generic sense, if you are close to the Lord and you're in his word on a regular basis, he is communicating with you.
Sure.
On a spiritual level.
Yes.
So,
let the peace of God rule in your heart. The Holy Spirit will work in your mind, in your conscience.
Yes.
Could convict you of sin.
Yes. So we're not in any way belittling the idea that there is a spiritual realm at work that we don't fully understand.
With angels and demons and the Holy Spirit and an actual relationship with God, but it's this secret information.
When God starts giving you percentages, you might want to just look at what you had for dinner the night before. I mean, something's going on.
Right, yeah.
Percentages?
And so this woman, now she might be listening. And she loves the Lord.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I don't know if she'll accept this as, you know, a loving rebuke or not. I hope so. But she was wrong.
Mm.
And that means she's a false prophet. She should be thankful we're living in the dispensation of grace.
Amen. Yeah.
So she doesn't have to be stoned.
No.
All she has to do is say, you know what? I'm sorry.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
I've had to do that a number of times. It's often quite cathartic, and it helps you to move on to a higher place.
Yeah.
Quite often.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, that's happened twice in the last 2 months on this show where people said, God told me.
Your screening methods obviously aren't that stringent around the studio.
<That's right.
laughs> It only happens when you're out of
Doug,
town.
We'll let anybody co-host this show.
Apparently.
Oh, we had Randall Terry in that seat yesterday.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Randall Terry had a press conference today at the Democratic headquarters in Denver, and Channel 7 was there. You know, he's on CNN today, and he's got news all over the country, and many, many TV stations have been reporting that they're being forced to carry his Super Bowl ads showing aborted children in the Super Bowl in city after city around the country, including in our Grand Junction market. It's a loophole in the law that pro-lifers could take advantage of.
Randall's been good at that for years, by the way.
Yeah,
you don't want to leave any room for error with Randall.
Right. If you're running for a federal office, the local TV station cannot refuse or edit your ad.
Right.
You have to pay for it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Oh, I'm sure. It's a ridiculous amount of money.
In fact, Randall needs about $4,000 or so to get an ad in the Denver market in the pregame show.
All right, put me down for $100. $100. Where do I go online to make that donation?
We're going to put a link, a special link from kgov.com.
Okay. All right. Well,
so you go to our website.
I'll do it through that link. Randall, I'm good for $100, Randall. All right?
Cool.
If it doesn't air in Denver, that would really, I'd feel personally responsible if I hadn't at least tried. So I hope folks, if you're out there in the audience and you want people to see the truth about abortion, this is one of the few opportunities we as pro-life Christians have an opportunity to force the enemy to do anything.
Yeah.
And we need to take advantage of it.
Right. What a good point.
It just doesn't happen that
often.
And
for people to see and for their hearts to be pricked with their conscience that kids are being killed, don't bother me. I want to have a fun day watching TV. We've got to increase the social tension over child killing.
You know, I was reading a story this morning, Bob, and I can't. Oh, here it is. Mm. Now, Barack Obama made comments on the 39th anniversary of Roe.
Yeah.
And as you would expect, he said something really vile and despicable, basically saying that Roe versus Wade, he calls it a fundamental constitutional right. He also says that it helps us continue our efforts to ensure that our daughters have the same rights, freedoms, and opportunities as our sons to fulfill their dreams.
Wow.
So does he think that young women dream of killing their own baby? I don't get this.
Apparently,
guy.
He thinks that if one of his grandchildren are torn limb from limb by Planned Parenthood, if one of Barack Obama's and Michelle Obama's, maybe a granddaughter, has her arms ripped off her body trying to get away from the abortionist suction tube, Obama thinks that is what can achieve his daughter's dream.
Mm. Just a twisted and bizarro worldview. I don't get it. But,
right.
Bob, there's something encouraging in this story.
Wow. How could that be?
Now, this is from CNSnews.com, and I think they're Christians.
Cyber News.
Am I wrong?
Sometimes they present things that are surprisingly.
This is something I've noticed that I think is becoming a part of the vernacular. And it's a result directly of the personhood movement. The story reports the Obama administration finalized regulations that order Americans, this is talking about Obamacare, Americans, unless they work directly for a church, they must purchase government-approved health insurance that covers sterilizations and contraceptives, including those that cause abortions.
That's
now,
right.
Did
That's
you catch
new.
That?
That's new.
That
is a result of the personhood movement.
Yeah.
Because now the media is acknowledging that personhood would ban certain forms of birth control, like the IUD, which only works in that it kills the baby.
That's right.
So the IUD is a device that kills the baby by causing it to abort automatically.
Yeah. For the first time that in my memory, I'm seeing regularly in the media, I'm seeing discussions.
References, right.
Number one, that there are forms of birth control that we've called birth control, but it's been a euphemism. We're finally admitting that
it kills
some of these
the
forms
baby.
kill the babies.
Yeah.
And also, we're hearing discussions about these exceptions for rape and incest. This was something that was simply taken for granted
right.
2 years
Absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely.
It was taken for granted that any sensible person would allow an exception for rape and incest. And
right.
now there's an ongoing legitimate debate. I'll bet even between people in the CNN newsroom are debating whether or not that's right or wrong or what is that all about?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
It's a brand new day in America in the pro-life movement because of the personhood movement. It's happening. You know, Randall Terry was here with a couple of his campaign guys, Gary and Andrew. And Andrew, I don't know, he looks so familiar. In fact, they both do. But Andrew was in Elkhart, Indiana, when I spent a couple years in South Bend, Indiana,
right.
on the Notre Dame campus, writing during the day and doing this show at night,
right,
Bob
right.
and Live in the evenings.
Wow.
And so Andrew used to tune into the show, and we've got so many friends in Indiana. And Doug, just the seeds that were planted in those years are bearing fruit.
Yeah. 20 years of work, never giving up and never giving in and never compromising. Congratulations, Bob.
Saying
we
the same thing over and over, banging your head against the microphone. Banging your head against the microphone.
We appreciate it, Bob. God bless.
Nonstop. Thank you, Doug McBurney. Our website is kgov.com. Check out our Sunday night Bible studies and get them at our website if you can't come.
Children are a blessing from God, but when parents reject and ignore His wisdom and teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.